Imagine with me, if you can, 2,000 years from now, it's the year 4009, and we're looking back 2,000 years, looking back to this time, and we're looking at the way that we viewed illness and disease, and how we treated illness and disease. Imagine what it may be like 2,000 years from now. I know people in the medical field, the medical profession, today are worrying about what things are going to look like 5, 10 years from now. But imagine 2,000 years from now. Imagine standing there looking back and saying, oh my gosh, I can't believe the way they understood illness and disease. I can't believe what they did back then. It's hard for us to picture that. But I wonder 2,000 years from now, where will everything be that they look back and wonder? I can't believe that they treated things like this, and they thought this pill was something that would take care of that. And you go to a place to buy the pills, and then you take the pills, and hopefully you get better. I'm not getting into how you pay for the pills, how you pay for that. That's a whole other option. It's hard to picture. I mean, today, medicine is just so cutting edge. There's so many things. It's just amazing. Not only in my own personal life, but when I share illness and disease with parishioners in hospital settings, I'm just amazed at what it's done today to determine illnesses and to treat them. 2,000 years from now, I wonder what they'll look at when I look back at this time. So, stay with me now in the year 2009, and let's look back 2,000 years. Let's look back now to the time of Jesus, when Jesus was alive. And when we look back from our perspective at the time of Jesus, we can almost say to ourselves, oh my gosh, the way they understood illness and disease, what they did then. You see, at the time of Jesus, there were certain understandings of illness and disease, and one of the components was there was a kind of a sense that some illnesses and diseases were caused by demons. An evil spirit that somehow was in this person. And how that evil spirit came about, how that demon came about, there are many ideas about that. Some people felt that someone did something that they deserved that demon. It was like a punishment for that evil spirit. Whatever way they interpreted that, they saw the connection between illness and disease and so demons. And so one way, not the only way, but one way that some illnesses and diseases were treated is they were those who would cast out demons. That's what they did. They would cast out demons. Pretty common in the time of Jesus. We see examples in the scriptures of even Jesus doing this. Now it's difficult for us to sometimes wrap our arms around the fact that Jesus was truly divine and truly human. Our faith about Jesus is truly human, truly divine. Sometimes I think we have a tough time accepting that he was truly human. That he saw the world, he experienced the world, he understood the world as the world was then. He was shaped by it. So he too would hear the stories of his casting out demons. So that idea was a pretty common thing. And indeed, what they would do is, those casting out demons would come to someone who was ill, and they would call upon a god or a goddess or a powerful spirit to cast out that demon. The demon be gone. And they hope the demon would leave and the person would get well. But if that didn't work, they'd call on another god or another goddess or another powerful spirit to try to make this demon go away. Whatever power made the person well, they believed in the power of that God or that goddess. So in our gospel reading today, we hear this story of John, one of Jesus' disciples. John comes to Jesus, and he says to Jesus, there's someone casting out demons in your name. You've got to stop. You've got to tell them to stop. And it wasn't the casting out the demon that went wrong. That may sound strange to us in our culture, in our time, 2,000 years later. But it was casting out the demons in the name of Jesus. That's what bothered John. And so, Jesus interestingly says, it's okay. It's okay. Let that happen. Now, perhaps this is a way this person is going to come to know God, to come to know the Holy. Maybe this is their way. Let them, you know, the famous line, if they're not against us, they're for us. Not a very high bar, but it's kind of, you know, if they're not against us, they're for us. But Jesus is openness to that. You see, in the early church, this must have been an issue that they were struggling with. It's important for us to remember that when we look at the scriptures, when we read the scriptures, what we're reading are the writings that were responding to situations in their time. So Mark wrote Mark's gospel. I'm not sure exactly who Mark is, their idea of who he was, but Mark's writing his gospel, and he is encountering issues in the community that he's in. And maybe there was this issue of people who are somehow outside of the community of faith, or those not known to the community of faith, who are doing things in the name of Jesus. And the early church is struggling with, do we have to go out there and tell them to stop it? Do we try to control that? Do we try to exert authority on that and make it stop? And someone simply says, there's this story of Jesus. There's a story that we heard and remember that Jesus held on to. And Mark puts it in his gospel. And it's the story we have today. It must have been something the early church was struggling with as well. And it's encouraging to hear how this early church, how this early organization, how this early, before it was really an institution, began to think of itself. You know, most organizations, most institutions, it's human nature. We want to control what we're in charge of. And the early church thinks, we're in charge of God. You know, and we're not going to let people who are not part of the organization be doing God's stuff. And so we have to stop. That's not what Jesus said. It's not the teaching from our gospel. It's this incredible experience of let this person grow in their faith. Maybe we don't know who they are, and they don't know us, but they're on some kind of a journey, and Jesus is open to that. I think there's a power to that. Jesus is more concerned about people who will get in the way of that. That's when we hear that really strong language in our Gospels, that cutting the arms and gouging the eyes, and you read that, but what is that all about? But Jesus is kind of saying, to the people, if you put a stumbling block in the way of these people, you get in the way of these people, and may that happen to you. He's kind of like pointing out one of the worst scenarios you could imagine. He doesn't want people to get in the way of people who are somehow beginning to experience God in their lives. So how does that speak to us? What can that say to us here at St. Paul, Cary, North Carolina? As we welcome new people into our parish, oftentimes we think that the only way, the main way people come to St. Paul's is through those doors on a Sunday. We have greeters, we have people who welcome new people, and I'm told by many of our newcomers that we're very welcome and friendly to people as they come, and we try to help people discern where in our faith community they can find themselves. But I keep reminding our leadership that not all people who come to St. Paul's come from those doors. Some may come through other doors. I don't mean literally these doors we see in the church, but these doors, these other doors, can be signs and symbols to us of the other doorways that people come to know God in their lives through the ministry of St. Paul. And it's not up to us to get in the way of that. It's not up to us to stop that. But as Jesus says, let that happen. Let people come to know God in the various ways that they encounter God. And maybe we can be a support to that without even sometimes knowing. Let me give an example of what I mean by this. A few years ago, I was approached by a family in the community. And the woman approaching me was her husband. And he was also a father of a family. And he passed away. He died. And the wife said to me, would you be willing to be part of this time in our lives? Could we come and have you pray with us and have a service and be at the burial? And I spoke to them and said, I didn't really know who they were. And they had to explain to me who they were. Now, this was not a family that was familiar to us. We didn't have them in our computer data system. They hadn't been to any services. They hadn't been to any of the activities of St. Paul's. They were not parishioners of St. Paul's. They had never had a record of contributing to the life of St. Paul's. So we didn't technically know who they were. So I asked how they knew of me, knew of the parish. Remember her story. She said to me, she says, "George, you may not know this, but St. Paul has transformed our lives in ways you can never imagine." You see, my husband started going to AA meetings at St. Paul's years ago. And he regularly attended these AA meetings, which transformed his life and transformed the life of our family. And he found going to St. Paul's to be a sacred thing in his life. That place where you are, that place at the end of Union Street, is a holy place for us. It's a sacred place for us. And it's touched his life in so many ways. And we'd love you to be part of this time in our life right now. I began to think about that a few years back, but think about how many times there are lives being touched that we don't even know of. We're not even aware of in the life that we do, the ministry we share together. Lives are touched. They're not parishioners. They're not in our data system. They don't get our mail. They're not part of our community. But are they any less than the rest of us? As they come to encounter and know God in their lives through the ministry of St. Paul. And that gospel reading today reminds me of Jesus saying, don't get in the way of that. Don't get in the way. That's another doorway. It's another way to come to know God. In our lives. So as we gather together today, let us give thanks to that early wisdom of the early church who remembered that story of Jesus as they struggled with who they were to be about and how they were to go about being in church. But they remembered that inclusive story of Jesus where all are welcome in different ways, through different doorways, in different experiences. And yet together we go about living out this ministry we share together. Let us give thanks as we go forth to baptize 7 new members into the community of faith today. An exciting day for us. Let us rejoice in the journey that they begin, and rejoice in the journey that we continue. And rejoice in knowing that we don't, nor are we called to, control God. When I was a little child, 6 years old, I remember from the catechism, the question, where is God? And the answer was, God is everywhere. And God is everywhere, acting in lives beyond ourselves. Let us be joyful that we participate in this wonderful, awesome God who is present